The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about top three most common chiropractic cases explained. So I thought it would be very interesting to talk about as new patients. I really love seeing new patients. I love adjusting patients in general, but I like seeing new patients. It's one of those, I'm like a health detective, you know, inevitably an initial exam. And why they're so important. I don't know why there are so many places that discredit the important nature of being able to sit down and go through. Like, we want to complain that my new patient paperwork is too long. You know what? More candidly than not, like, I don't care. And I mean that from the kindest place in my heart. Because more than anything, what I care about is figuring out who you are as a person, the things that you've tried, the things that have worked, the things that make you worse, kind of your history, what that looks like, because those are the things that allow me to get people well. And so knowing that information, one, you got to fill it out so I could read it. Because as much as I'd love to sit with every person for 10 hours, it's just not realistic. So, and also our paperwork doesn't take 10 hours. It takes about 25 to 30 minutes, but it is so important to be able to see what's going on. So I want to talk about the top three most common chiropractic cases explained. I want to explain them, why I think that they're happening, why they present themselves initially. But even with them, I want to give you some actionable steps that even if you're not in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, I want to be able to give you the abilities to kind of do what you can at home. And if and when those things may not work, just know at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, that's one where we have a very high success rate with these things. So it just allows me to kind of break down the ins, the outs, the whys and the hows. But just for you or someone you know individually who might be suffering with one of those things, I think explaining why we have a success rate with these things are also very helpful too. Top three most common chiropractic cases explained. But before we get into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, is that interesting? Neurologists reveal the top three foods to avoid to protect your brain and nervous system. Neurologists share foods that can lead to muscle paralysis, epilepsy, and other neurological illnesses. So they say doctors recommend food like berries, nuts, and fish packed with omega-3 fatty acids, and even dark chocolate for neurological health. They also discourage food high in sugar and saturated fat, which I don't necessarily agree with all the way, which can, like, I like good healthy saturated fat. Anyways, which can increase the risk of stroke and dementia. But there are less known foods that can also create a real headache, according to neurologists. Foodborne illness is often associated with gastrointestinal symptoms. Some pathogens and toxins directly affect the nervous system, sometimes with severe or long-term consequences. This comes from Dr. Mary Ann Picone, a neurologist at Holy Name Medical Center in New Jersey. Because the illnesses are less common and symptoms can be slow to appear, even doctors can underestimate or miss the neurological component. Experts say international travel and home food preparation can increase your risk of contracting them. Here are three common foods that neurologists caution could put you at risk for toxins and bugs. Number one, canned food that appears damaged. I think this is so funny only because there was, my husband really likes Zevia's, or he calls them Zevia, but I think it's Zevia, but it's Z-E-V-I-A. It's a stevia. See, stevia, Zevia. That's what I think. He doesn't really like, he'll have water. He might have some black coffee and he'll have a Zevia. That's really all he drinks, but it's a stevia flavored or sweetened soda. And there's no coloring. So they're all clear. And so in like a good, better, best scenario, I wouldn't say, my kids are like, is this healthy? I'm like, no, it's not healthy, but it's not really unhealthy, if that makes sense. Like, it's kind of what I wouldn't drink, is Zevia being like, I'm so healthy. Okay. Anyways, but there was like a busted can. So I told you that whole story. There was a busted can and I was like, oh, but it looked like someone dropped it, not like it was going to explode. And I thought in my mind, this was literally this just in the last couple of days, which is funny. I found this article and I was like, I wonder if we're still doing the things where we throw out the dented cans. Like I remember as a kid, you know, when we would go grocery shopping, like I don't actively look for dented cans now, but you'd be like, oh no. Or if like a can in your house was dented, you'd throw it away. And I was like, are we still doing that? Is that still a thing in this year? Or is that like an 80s, 90s thing? But anyways, so if a can is bulging, cracked, or severely dented. So the dented, I'm like, is it dented from the red flag of botulism contamination? Or is that because my kid dropped it? Because that's not the same thing. But the bulging I get because it's fermentation. Here's a great example of bacteria and fermentation. Our power went out a couple months ago and we didn't open the fridge door, but I had some raw meat that was in the fridge and the packaging was like a bubble, like you could pop it because it was expanded. And I'm like, you go in the trash. And one of my kids was like, why are you throwing that in the trash? I'm like, because something's fermenting in there. That bacteria is fermenting and, you know, like off-gassing, and that's what happened. So anyways, they say if a can is bulging, cracked, or severely dented, that's a red flag for botulism, which I think is so funny because botulism is also Botox, botulism toxin. People put it in their face and in their muscles. Or they're like base of their skull for their headaches, which we'll talk about more later. It's a little teaser. So botulism toxin is odorless and tasteless, and heating the contaminated food may not fully neutralize it. When in doubt, throw it out. So they talked about the potent neurotoxin can cause botulism, which attacks the nerves, leading to muscle paralysis, right? That's why women will put them in their forehead to paralyze their muscles, or clearly suboccipital muscle spasm that causes headaches. It's clearly that headache is due to a lack of Botox in that muscle, right? Ugh, difficulty breathing and even death. That's when you'll think about botulism toxin. Most people don't know this, I have realized recently, is that if you ever hear with infants how they're not supposed to have honey before the age of two. The reason being is because honey can't be pasteurized. It can't be heated. And because of that, the likelihood of botulism toxin is more. Botulism toxin leads to floppy baby syndrome where their lungs are not able to breathe, and that difficulty breathing then leads to death. So that is why babies can't have honey under the age of two. You are welcome. And the thought is that once they hit two, their immune system is more developed so that that toxin doesn't affect them the way that it affects smaller infants. So they talked specifically home canned low acid food, including green beans, asparagus, corn, meats, garlic, and fermented fish are the most at risk. So to prevent botulism. They recommend refrigerating or freezing leftovers promptly after cooking, throwing away damaged or bulging cans, and then following proper guidelines for canning. So Botox, botulism toxin, I mean. Botox is the branded name. Number two for three common foods to avoid, according to neurologists, which is reef fish. I thought this was interesting, especially because I really do like fish. I really do, you know, and you just have to be careful, especially with like heavy metals, bottom feeders, shellfish. I do love a good oyster. You know, I did so much training in Naples and North Carolina on the ocean. And so, but my husband and I make sure that they are fresh and we do them more specifically during the winter months. Anyways, it's not here nor there. They talk about a toxin. This is one of the neurologists. I like eating fish, but I try to avoid eating large tropical reef fish like barracuda, grouper, amberjack because of a neurotoxin called ciguatoxin. Ciguatoxin is a neurotoxin produced by a certain algae in coral reefs as a defense mechanism. It can travel up the food chain from herbivore fish to carnivorous fish and eventually to humans, obviously. The neurological symptoms of ciguatoxin poison can feel like tingling and numbness, reverse temperature sensation where hot objects feel like cold and cold feel like hot, and vivid nightmares. So they say about 50,000 cases are what is reported to the CDC, but they think it's higher just because of the misdiagnosis. The toxin is heat stable, so cooking the fish won't destroy it. So it doesn't mean you can't eat fish, just avoid or limit consumption of large predatory fish. And then try not to eat like the liver or the roe. Yeah, so I thought that's kind of interesting. And then the other one that I am, again, 100% on board with, I don't really eat it ever, is undercooked pork. I just don't eat pork a lot because of this. Neurocysticercosis occurs often when a person swallows pork tapeworm eggs. Ugh. The larva, this is hard to talk about, honestly. The larva migrates to tissues like the brain and forms cysts, which are diagnosed when found in the central nervous system. A little known fact is that it's actually one of the leading causes of acquired epilepsy worldwide. And it's not just in developing countries, but can also be seen in countries with poor sanitation. There are about 1,000 new cases of hospitalizations for neurocysticercosis in the United States. Whoa, most frequently reported in New York, California, Texas, Oregon, and Illinois, which makes sense because they're just the most highly populated states. But obviously hand washing, cleaning and peeling fruits and vegetables, only drinking boiled water for at least a minute where countries may be unsafe. Yeah, so and cook your pork all the way if you're going to eat pork. I'll never forget one of the... Ugh, there was a video that I watched. I used to play this. Maybe I'm going to have to find it again. But it was this woman who, you know, was like, oh my gosh, I have brain cancer. They did a scan. I've got all these kids. I'm so sad. You know, it was like this big sad story about how this mom with all these kids was going to die from this brain cancer because where it was located at, but they still thought it was operable. So they went in and there's like a video of this doctor doing brain surgery and he's laughing and everyone's like, what are you laughing at? Because again, he's in the middle of cutting open this woman's brain tumor and he pulls out this worm and it was a pork worm from undercooked pork. So needless to say, I did not eat pork really before that. But yeah, pork tapeworm eggs. It's from undercooked pork. So either if you're going to have pork, could you, but it's just such, it's so acidic and it's so toxic. And I would say if we do pork, it's every now and again, my husband will get some clean bacon and that fills his heart up. But I couldn't tell you the last time we ever did like a pork chop. And honestly, candidly, I don't feel like I'm missing anything. My kids will probably grow up and be like, why do we never have pork chop? And I'm going to be like, brain cysts, larva migrates to tissues in your brain and forms cysts. But it's true, right? So I'm going to be the crazy mom, but it's also the true crazy mom. So it is what it is, I guess. So when we come back, we're going to start with one of the top three most common chiropractic cases, and we'll explain it more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I give it all back. I'm on my knees. Take what you want, cause that means nothing to me. I'd rather be broke. All these riches are cheap. Cause if I got you, then I got all that I need. All that I need.
Really appreciate you being with us this morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or schedule an appointment. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com for your initial exam and consultation. 317-893-2853. Couldn't remember if I said that or not. We're talking about the top three most common chiropractic cases explained. Now, why I think this is so important is, you know, I think we all know that chiropractic can help with these. But when I tell you these are the most common that I see and probably the top most common that I help. We'll start with sciatic, only because when, you know, the internet is a blessing and a curse all in one. And what I think is so interesting about that is people will come in self-diagnosed very often. Dr. Google told me that X, Y, and Z. And honestly, like more candidly than not, when someone comes in and is like, hey, I know I shouldn't have been, but I just was looking online and it told me that, you know, Dr. Google told me they think I have sciatic pain. Or it's so cute. Sometimes they'll come in and they'll say, I have sciatica. And I'm like, yeah. And so I kind of listen to their presentation and what they're feeling and, you know, what's been bothering them and when it's exacerbated and, you know, just all the good doctor things we should be doing. And when they say it, I would say probably like a good majority of the time, 90% of the time, if Google tells them they have sciatic pain, they probably, it's pretty much a good presentation, right? Now, here's what it can present with, because it doesn't all present the same. And I think that's what's a little bit hard about, you know, sciatic pain or, you know, headaches, these things that they all, it's just like that's one word that encompasses so many different things. So, sciatic, when you're looking, so the nerve roots in your lower back. So like if you put your hands on your hips, right, those hip bones on the side, and you like scroll your thumbs back so that they touch, like hands on the hips, that depending and go down a little bit. So everyone anatomically is a little bit different. If you're standing, that's like L1 to L3. If you go down, so you want a little bit more, L4, L5, S1, 2, and 3. Those five nerve roots come together to form the largest bundle branch of nerves in your body, known as your sciatic nerve. And that sciatic nerve runs down through the hip, down the leg to the knee, through the your calf, and then all the way down to your toes. Now, sometimes I think we believe that sciatic has to like terrible back pain and it's radiating all the way down to your foot. But sometimes people will say, I've got some back pain and it just kind of like goes into my hip. Not all lower back into hip pain necessarily is sciatic, but some people will say they feel it down their thigh, right? They'll say, gosh, I've got some pain down my thigh. Or it feels like they've got a stretch. Or oftentimes as well, what this will present with is paresthesia. So basically paresthesia just means like an altered sensation. So when I have a patient who comes into the office and they'll say, my leg just feels kind of weird. And it doesn't, we think of numbness and tingling where it's like, if you're like, it's dead, like it's numb and it's like that burning, tingling sensation, like fire is on it, right? But sometimes paresthesia just presents as like, it just feels different. And so, and patients always say, I don't know if that makes sense or not. And I'll say, exactly, yes, 100% it does. Now, depending on where it's at in the leg, it might be more directly on the side. It might wrap around and like cross over down to the inside part of the knee, if you will. Some of it might experience some paresthesia or some numbness or altered sensation in different toes, like your big toe versus your little toe. Those are different nerve roots. So one might be affected from like L5 and the other one might be an S2 nerve root geometrum. So all these questions kind of like let us see. It's almost like we ask these questions, but it lets me see even before we dive down deeper into like what nerve root is being affected. Is it affecting the muscles? And people might not have back pain. I think that's so intriguing too. And I think that's what is always a little bit of a conundrum, if you will, about sciatic, is that sometimes people will have leg pain, like aches in their legs, you know, but they won't have any lower back pain. And to that, what I've often found is that either one, most people don't realize that a nerve root fiber, only 7% of that entire fiber actually feels pain, where 93% is function. 7% of that nerve fiber is pain, 93% is function. So when people have lower back pain, that makes sense that it's coming from their back. But if they're not having a lot of lower back pain, but they're having those more symptoms that are radiating into the hip or down the legs or into the toes, it's harder to understand that that would be coming from your back. But when we look at sciatic, I always think it's so interesting because they're like, oh yeah. And you're like, no educated, smart doctor when presented with sciatic pain would be like, hey, let's really look into that knee. You're like, no, we know where that's coming from. We know the root cause, or they should know. Let me rephrase. They should know more so the root cause. And so it's so oftentimes when we see that, when it comes with some neuropathy, right? And neuropathy means nerve pain or paresthesia, that those are inevitably ones that we want to look at, right? Those are ones that we help with directly. And where people... where the point that I end up seeing them is that typically they'll go to their primary care physician, right? And they'll say, hey, I've got this back pain, it's radiating down my leg. And they will be sent to physical therapy. And we're like, okay, so the physical therapy is designed to strengthen the muscles, right? Core muscles. And maybe a weak core is what's causing problems on, you know, nerve roots like L5 and S1. Or maybe it's because you have degeneration. Or maybe because you have a scoliosis. Or maybe because you have spinal canal stenosis, right? Like maybe you have all of these other things and you're like, PT is really good for working with muscles. I think there's a time and a place for physical therapy, 1,000%, right? But you're looking at directly a sciatic nerve pain. So if I'm pinching off the nerves and I'm trying to do all the stretching and strengthening around the nerve that has damage, that's often ones where people might see a little bit of relief with physical therapy, but inevitably, they'll still note that, you know, either it comes back or it wasn't really resolved. And so then after the physical therapy, then, and this is all usually like just checking the boxes for insurance, right? And then they're like, well, now you could probably have x-rays. And they get the x-rays taken and they're like, okay, well, you know, you've got some degeneration, so let's send you to ortho. Like, you know, and they go to ortho and it's like, now what's your next step? And it's so interesting because you're like, is there pressure on the nerve? Is there pressure on your sciatic nerve? Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, that's what's causing your sciatic pain. So we can do the stretching and the strengthening and the hydration, or, you know, I just had a surgeon tell one of my patients, like, you just need to lose weight, right? You have sciatic pain because you're too fat, is basically what they told him. You know, what's crazy on the flip side of things, you're like, does excess weight exacerbate an underlying? Yes, absolutely it does. Knees, hips, backs, all the things. But the problem is that I see the people on the flip side of things, right? And they go and they lose the weight. And you want to know what? Their sciatic pain is the same, if not worse. And you're like, because there's still damage on your sciatic nerve. So fatter, skinnier, right? Like weaker core, stronger core. Like if there's still damage on that nerve, then the weights... If weight alone caused sciatic pain, everyone who is overweight would have sciatic pain. But that's not true. That weight can exacerbate an underlying. And my question inevitably is, who is looking at the underlying? And that's what our job is. And that's why we have a really good success rate with that. One of the things inevitably we look at in the office are non-weight bearing x-rays. I have you seated if we have to take x-rays, right? If I have to take x-rays, I'm going to have you seated. I want no leg length differential. Short leg, long leg, doesn't really matter. I want to look at you sitting on your butt bones, i.e. your ischial tuberosities, to see if there's any rotation on leveling, because that ultimately is going to change. Of course, if your hip is hiked up, so people will see like their pants wear more on one side than the other, or they feel like their belly button is twisted, or they feel that their hips aren't aligned, right? A lot of those presentations are because structurally something else is going on. So that would be more of our goal, if that makes sense. Now, some of the things that you can do kind of palliatively at home. Now, know that sciatic pain is a nerve-related pain. So if there's damage on nerves from the spine or the pelvis, that's what's causing it. Palliatively, if you want to do something in between, those are always ones where you can always do like a figure four stretch. What that looks like is you extend one leg out. So imagine you extend your left leg out all the way and you take your right ankle and you put it above your knee, right? That's like the old school. I don't do this four, I do the open four. It doesn't matter though, right? And you have that figure four and you can push that with your right hand, put your right knee down. And it kind of stretches some of those posterior leg muscles. You can do hamstring. You can try to do core strengthening if you want to. Inevitably, most of the people who go through PT, they come to me the same, if not worse, because, you know, if there is any sort of structural discrepancy that might be causing it, like say you might have a spondylolisthesis. This is a perfect. I had a patient who had a spondylolisthesis and had sciatic pain and went through physical therapy. And a lot of they're trying to do strengthening exercises, like posterior chain strengthening exercises. But every time you went into extension, it irritated that nerve root because of that spondylolisthesis. It's basically a structure abnormality, but the exercise itself was exacerbating the underlying. And so people think that, you know, just I'm getting older, I got to live with sciatica the rest of my life. And that 100% is not true. So inevitably, that's one where figuring out more root cause. Sciatic is pressure on the sciatic nerve. So regardless of if it's more into the hip, down the leg, or all the way to the feet, that is most definitely something we can help with, you know, albeit warranting further evaluation. So figure four stretch, though, in the meantime might be an easy one to see if that helps. So if you want to schedule an appointment, 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, next, I teased it, I alluded to it, but headaches, common, not normal. Let's talk more next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about top three most common chiropractic cases explained. There's a plethora of people who come into the office. I would say, I always tell people this, and I'm like, I should probably stop, but I'm not going to, and I'm talking about it on the radio, so that's worse. People always come in and they'll have like headaches or migraines, right? In most of the time, by the time someone has seen us at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we are not their first stop. There's a myriad of different things that they have done. So, standard is that they went and saw the eye doctor. Depending on if it's headaches versus migraines, more specifically migraines. And this is what I tell people. I, as a practitioner, it would be odd if I had a favorite symptom, right? And they always say, maybe. And I'm like, but if I did have a favorite symptom, it's migraines. 1,000% it's migraines. And everyone kind of looks at me funny. And I'm like, I think it's just because we have such a high success rate with migraines, right? Like, do you like math because you're good at it? Or are you good at math because you like it? Who knows? But that's my migraines, right? And so like when ordinary medicine and chiropractic have failed and they're doing, you know, and the things like, you know, I've had a patient who's been on antidepressants. They're on Neurontin. They're on gabapentin. They're on, they're getting Botox, which is, again, botulism toxin, injected into the suboccipitals, which is the muscles at the base of the skull. All right. They're getting Botox into their masseter muscles, which is your chewing muscles on your jaw. They're on Imitrex, right? Or they get Rebound, so they're doing something else. And it's like one thing after another, and you're just like, goodness gracious. And they're like, I literally can't live. I have no quality of life with these migraines. And here's a question that I ask. And if anyone has feedback on how to make it sound less like a trick question, please let me know. Because I am a decade and a half into practice and people still think it's a trick question, even when I am very clear to say this is not a trick question. If I compress, right? Like, listen, if there is a nerve in your lower back compressed, guess what that causes? And this is where people get really confused. I'm like, lower back pain causes lower back pain. If nerves in your neck are compressed, guess what that causes? Neck pain. If the nerves in the base of your skull that go back up into your head are compressed, guess what that causes? Headaches, right? Like headaches, migraine, all the things. And so one of the things that we look at, like it's just like anything. Where's your lower back pain from? Well, you've got X, Y, and Z. Get to the root cause. And that's where people say, well, I only have headaches like around my cycle with the hormone change. And you're like, well, then how come not every woman who goes through that same hormonal change gets those same headaches? Right? Because there's something else underlying going on. You know, they go to the eye doctor. There's no brain tumors. All very important things, right? Like, of course, I want to make sure. Or thus out chiropractors. But here's where I think is really interesting. I had a patient who came in just the other day who'd gone to a chiropractor. Didn't do a really thorough exam. Did not take any x-rays. And got adjusted. And his neck pain and headaches got worse. Which it's not uncommon to have some soreness afterwards. But this wasn't like post-adjustment soreness. This was worse. And so he had come into our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. And I was like, you know what, I think this warrants not only upper cervical x-ray set. So it looks at A to P open mouth. So you literally open up your mouth nice and wide to see if there's any ligamentous instability, atlantoaxial instability. Because that is a very, very large cause of migraines and headaches. We did a base posterior. We did ligamentous instabilities films because it allows us to see upper cervically what's going on. And that one, he actually did have ligamentous instability. So rotary, high velocity rotary adjustments are a counterindication for him. And so now he's been getting adjusted for about 3 or 4 weeks. Next feels better. Hasn't had a headache or migraine yet. Now he's a month in, so it's not like these have been years without headaches or migraines. But we have those patient testimonies too. So it's not just one where you're like, oh, one and done, here you go. But when you see like if there's a loss of cervical curve, if there's that instability, there's a reason why you're having those headaches, which is why, unfortunately, when there's not, you know, most migraine headaches are not surgical in nature. But then so you're like, what's the answer? Drugs or surgery? Well, if surgery's out, then drugs are the only option. We had another one too, mid-20s, freshly married, recently married, and she just happened to read the insert on her migraine medication and saw that it should not be taken in pregnancy. And she's like, well, I just got married and we're going to actively try to get pregnant in the next couple months. And so now she's doing all of these aspects of like getting adjusted. She was terrified, got adjusted and was like, oh, that was it. She goes, oh, okay, I could do that. You know, But again, she had that instability. So we're not doing those like real violent twisting adjustments. We are using our hands, but it's a technique called chiropractic biophysics. So just the technique itself in terms of adjusting and analyzation of x-rays are very different than standard and what we learned in chiropractic school. It truly does make a difference. And so when you get down to that root cause, now say you say, I'm not really sure what to do. I can't get in to see you until next week and I've got a migraine. What should I do? Number one, first and foremost, drink water. If hydration was the only cause of migraine headaches, everyone could just drink water and their migraines would go away. But just in general, hydration, headaches, neck pain, back pain, the average person that I find is so, so chronically dehydrated. So at least we can rule it out, right? We can at least rule out hydration. And that's when, yeah, when people are like, gosh, I'm really, you know, I've had some extra headaches. And I'm like, we could change all these adjusting styles, but let's rule out dehydration first and foremost, right? That's like a real easy, simple, affordable solve. But if you've lost a curve, you have a reverse curve. If you have that instability, water's not going to get rid of it. But at least it's a good one to try. The other aspect, too, that I would tell you is, look at your seated position. Where are you majority of the day? Is it like a radio producer chair? What does the screen look like? Is it one that you're, you know, like hunched over a desk where you're like a little hobbit typing away where your posture is terrible? I had a woman who was like, my chair posture when I go to like after work hang out. She was like, it's terrible. I actually saw her this week. And she goes, you know what? I can actually work overtime now. She's like, I can never work over because my back hurts so bad. And I said, are you telling me that chiropractic at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is actually making you more money? And she said, no, I'm salary. And I was like, oh, I could though. So I think there's a reason why. And so especially with headaches and migraines, those are ones inevitably that I say, what do you have to lose? Because if we can look to see if there's any of that base posterior, lets us see rotation, C1 versus C2, because that's a huge component. There's just so many aspects that come into migraines that are missed with standard chiropractic. And they don't evaluate, unfortunately, through neurology and your primary care physician, because that's our specialty at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, right? Like that's what we inevitably end up doing. But again, those are two aspects. What you can do, change your posture and then fix your posture and drink more water. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Today, we're talking about top three most common chiropractic cases explained. And the second one, this is the third. The third one that I would talk about is neck tension. People come in all the time and they're like, yeah, I put neck tension down, but just my job is really stressful. I'm like, oh. But the problem is that, again, I feel like stress is like weight, right? A lot of us can carry extra, but if it was the only thing, then we'd all experience that. But there are people who have the most stressful jobs in the entire world and they don't have that neck tension. But what I found is that throughout that course of time, just the course of time, that beautiful cervical curve that you should have will be lost. It could be a big trauma. You bump your head, a car accident, motor vehicle accidents, sports, football, wrestling, cheerleading, gymnastics, or car accidents. I think I said that. I always think about like 135, just people driving crazy. But what I see a lot of are these small repetitive micro traumas. Your phone, where's it at? Does your chin touch your chest? My kids know, like, I just have to be like, posture. Hey, or I'll say, where's your chin? Because it'll be touching their chest. And they all know if your chin is touching your chest, it's a terrible posture. Move the phone. Like, I guess they don't really have phones, but they'll play math games on their tablets. You know, but I'm like, hey, posture. You know, because that's a bigger thing. Now, over the course of time, these are little kids. The bigger kids, right? And or now bigger kids, meaning adults. You see this, it's like some things in life are meant to have curves. If you flatten a banana, guess what happens to the insides? But now we throw on special life, job, dehydration, eating poorly. Now cellularly, we're so inflamed that it exacerbates an underlying. And so those are ones where people are like, I eat right and exercise and I still have this neck tension. And I'm like, well, because you don't have a curve and you have degeneration. That's why you have neck tension. It doesn't, you can have a stressful life, but, and that might be making it worse, but you know, that stressful life goes away and you're still going to have no curvature in your neck or that degeneration. And so Inevitably just doesn't get to the root cause. And so again, something that you can do at home if you're, you know, it takes you a week or two to get into the office is that I call them corner stretches, but basically what it is, you're going to find a corner, hence why I call it corner stretches. When we have that forward head posture, our shoulders will also kind of roll forward, right? We get that kind of posture. And so what you do is you're going to put your hand up almost like you're going to give someone a high five. So your elbow will make a 90 degree angle and your arm to your body will make a 90 degree angle. And you're going to kind of lean into the corner. You're going to do that with both arms. And the corner is going to be like your nose will be facing the corner. Your arms will be up in that kind of square position. So it's almost like if you like put your hands up, but your elbows are bent, right? Does that make sense? Put your hands up, elbows are bent. Okay. And then you lean in and you will feel the whole design of that is to stretch your pectoralis muscles, your pec muscles, you know, that's like your chest muscles. When they're tight, they pull it together. When you pull that together, it pulls your head forward as well. And it puts even more stress and pressure on your trapezius muscle, which originates at the base of the skull, goes through the shoulder and all the way down the middle of your back. It's a very large muscle. And oftentimes it compensates for forward head posture, loss of curvature. So again, it's not necessarily going to get rid of that neck tension, but at least it can help open up that pectoralis girdle, those pecs, your chest muscles, pull your shoulders back and let your head kind of fall over your ears, fall over your shoulders a little bit more. So just an aspect of things that you can do at home. So that's inevitably when you look at that cross the shoulder tension that people say, hey, this is from stress. Now, this is where we have to change our mindset a little bit to be actionable. What I have found over the course of time is that, I'm trying to think of like a nice way to, I don't know why people think that they have to be like dying to come into my office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Like, why are we waiting until we have like migraines that are irretractable? We can't figure it out. Like, once you have them, you're down for the count. It's 2 or 3 days. You're like, now I'm going to come in to see what's going on. Or someone's like, oh, I've got some mild neck pain, but I can do everything. And I see these patients who I'm like, okay, so tell me, how long have you had this neck pain for? And they're like, I know, it's not bad. I'm like, okay, but no, like, how long? Days, weeks, months, years. And they're like, well, it's probably been on and off for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And this is where I want to lovingly shake you in the kindest way possible. And I give this analogy to patients. Imagine I go to the dentist and I say, hey, just wanted to let you know I have a toothache. And they're like, okay, no big deal. We can help with that here. How long has it been? Tell me more about it. How long has this tooth pain been going on for? And I say, well, you know, it's on and off for like a couple years. That dental assistant would be like, huh? And you're like, so you've had this tooth pain for years? And you're like, yeah. I'm just coming in now, though. And you're like, why would you have not come in years ago? And they're like, well, I could still like eat everything. I could just put a little bit of Orajel on the toothache. I just don't eat anything too cold. It was fine. And you're like, that's when people are like, oh yeah, I've had this now. I just pop like a Tylenol or Advil every now and again. I see, you know, I only have to take it a couple times a month. And you're like, your body is trying to tell you something. Your oral health is trying to tell you something. But now, because you've waited years and you can still, people think like, oh, once my neck goes out and I literally can't move, I'm like crawling into the office, crying in an extreme amount of pain. That's when I should go see the chiropractor. And you're like, why wouldn't you come see us when you know, if you're just below baseline, getting you well is a lot easier than when you let it go for years and years and years because you could still, quote, do everything like before. And now I'm like, well, you know, now what would have been a proverbial, you know, cavity is now a full root canal or tooth extraction because you waited for so long. And so I think that's the unfortunate part, is that so many times people think that they just need to be ultimately miserable to do something about their overall health and wellness. And it was like, do you know the true definition of preventative is not waiting for something to be wrong to be proactive about it? So when we have these like twinges of neck pain or muscle tension or the sciatic pain just is slightly bothersome, or you know, your migraines are just cyclical, or, you know, like what if you actually were actionable and did something about it before they got worse? And that's what I empower and challenge you to do, is that those are the times I'll see you guys obviously whenever. I love my radio people. You guys are the best. But that being said, like, let's be proactive. Let's not keep waiting until something is massively wrong to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to do something about this. What if we said, hey, something's just not right, and I'm going to do something about this? Let's be true preventative. And so that's what it starts with, getting an appointment to the office. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853. Or you can just go online to schedule, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. I appreciate everyone tuning in and listening. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.